How you doing, Peterson? Driscoll asks as we descend through the thick fog. You look a little green. Do me a favor and try not to lose your lunch all over my plane, okay? The C-54, buffeted by a crosswind, shakes fiercely, rattling us like peas in a can. It's been like this the whole flight. Driscoll grins at me. My name isn't Peterson, but he doesn't know that. He also doesn't know that I've been in far more nerve-wracking situations than a rough approach. I may look like any other 19-year-old GI, but I'm far more than that. Last time I flew over Berlin, I was dropping eggs on their heads. Driscoll continues, shouting to be heard above the roar of the engines. Now I'm bringing them eggs for their breakfast. His joke about the bombing raids that destroyed huge parts of the city during the last days of the war isn't funny. I smile anyway. I need him to think I'm just one of the guys, at least for a little longer. The truth is, I am a little bit nervous. I've been training for war since I was a kid. I've been through more than Driscoll and all the other soldiers on the plane ever saw in boot camp. But this is my biggest mission yet. A lot is riding on it. And yet I don't even know exactly what it's about. I know the basics. I've got to find a man and get him out of Berlin. I know his name and his suspected location. And I know that if he won't come with me, or if someone else gets to him first, I have to kill him. A simple plan. That's why I know there's more to it than the council has told me. For some reason, they don't want me to know the details of why this man is so important, which means they don't want anyone else to have that information either. If I get captured, my enemies can try as hard as they want to get me to talk, but I can't tell them what I don't know. Not that I would talk anyway. I'd never do anything to jeopardize the safety of my line. The council knows that, so it bothers me a little bit that they're taking this precaution. More than a little bit, if I'm honest. This is the first time since I became the Cahokian player that they've kept me in the dark about something. I don't like the feeling. I push that irritation from my mind as the Tempelhof airstrip appears, seemingly out of nowhere, and meets the wheels of the plane. The rumbling intensifies, shaking my bones, and I hang on as Driscoll applies the brakes. Through the cockpit windows, I see groups of children standing on top of piles of debris that line the runway. They wave at us, grinning and clapping their hands. "Look at that," Driscoll says. "It's like we're Santa Claus." In a way, we are. After all, it's Christmas Eve, and along with the 10 tons of eggs, milk, meat, flour, and other basic supplies in our hold, we're bringing bags of wrapped gifts to hand out to the people of the city. Chocolate bars for the kids, cigarettes for the men, perfume for the women. The war ended in 1945, but more than 3 years later, Berlin is still trying to recover. And since the Soviets cut off all sea and land access to the city's western zone earlier in the year, life has gotten even harder. Thankfully, the airlift organized by the American, French, and British militaries has been successful in bringing supplies to the city. It's also provided me with a handy way inside. Posing as an American soldier has been easy enough. There are so many young men being assigned to the dozens of daily airlift flights coming out of Rhein-Main Air Base that no one notices one more. All I had to do was put on a uniform and start helping load the plane. When the Skymaster comes to a stop, we reverse the process begun 3 hours earlier, transferring everything in our cargo area onto the trucks that pull up one after the other. "Nobody disappear," Driscoll shouts as we launch into action. "General Tunner's orders. We get this stuff off, turn around, and land back in Frankfurt in time for eggnog and cookies." The airlift is a well-oiled machine. Planes land at 2-minute intervals, and the total time from unloading to takeoff is 25 minutes. Everything moves like clockwork, and everyone has a job to do. I can't make a break for the main terminal or someone is bound to notice the missing pair of hands. But when we're almost finished, one of the mobile coffee trucks arrives, filled with pretty German girls who hand out drinks and smiles, and I take the opportunity to slip away while the others are distracted. I don't look back and nobody calls Peterson's name. Even when they finally notice he's gone, it won't matter, as the United States Army has no record of him anyway.